This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And our next story, as mentioned, is about social media and online activism. And specifically, we're actually looking at how these issues have played out in light of the protests in the United States. And they involve three specific hashtags. It's a hashtag-heavy story, guys. Sorry about that. So firstly, hashtag the show must be paused, and then hashtag Blackout Tuesday, and hashtag Black Lives Matter. So you might have chanced upon the latter two posted with a blank black image. And what first took life as the show must be paused evolved into Blackout Tuesday. And the show must be paused was initially meant to be a day of reflection after George Floyd's death for big players in the music industry like Columbia Records and Sony Music, to think about how they've benefited from black art and how they can play a role in the current struggles and protests. But that changed because once it spread beyond the confines of the music industry and got conflated with other parts of the movement, most posted it, that black square, to show solidarity with Black Lives Matter, and they hashtagged accordingly. But the thing is, that hashtag, Black Lives Matter, is actually being used to share information and plan protests. And so what you see now is that these important posts that actually contain information are being drowned out by page after page of well-meaning, well-intentioned black squares. So with that, people have actually been asked to delete their posts and repost with the Blackout Tuesday hashtag, especially if they'd initially used Black Lives Matter. Broadly speaking, there has also been criticism that using black squares and observing silence was, you know, a good idea at all, especially when you're talking about a group that has traditionally been silenced, and especially when it came from the music industry, which has its own racial issues, mostly in terms of who owns the art that they sell. So there are a few main things to consider here. One is how quickly social activism and online movements can quickly grow murky and confused, much as on-the-ground protests can. The other is also asking where these movements originated and what they achieve. Most of all, perhaps, it's important to ask what role social media plays in activism as a whole. So we're going to be crossing over now to Dr. Nikki Cheong, media and communications expert at the University of Nottingham, UK. If you have thoughts to share on the Black Lives Matter movement or what you've seen playing out on social media, do call us. That number is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Nikki, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
So with the ongoing protests in the US, we've been seeing competing narratives on social media, whether it's in terms of ideology or even different accounts of what's happening, who's actually behind the looting and rioting. How do these competing narratives affect protest efforts on the ground?
I think that the answer to this question really is the way that we think about anything else in life, right? So there will be, you know, social media is a platform where people will have diverse opinions and things, and people will say whatever they want. It will have an impact the way, in a sense that, you know, there will be more people. As much as this will help the Black Lives Movement campaign build, it will also kind of help dampen it because there will be others. So for example, with Blackout Tuesday that you mentioned earlier, I've already seen that, you know, there are some groups who are created a whiteout Tuesday hashtag and kind of posting.
Deeply original.
Yes. So, I mean, you'll see these kind of things. I mean, how does it affect things on ground? I don't think it will affect them kind of literally, but it will kind of, you know, cause different kind of issues to be raised up. And that's why I think it's important that we have issues like this, discussions like this.
So we're going to dive into the issue of the hashtags Black Lives Matter and Blackout Tuesday in just a bit. But before that, right, if we take a wider view, why do you think that in this particular instance, social media and, you know, public social media has been the go-to for planning on-the-ground tactics as opposed to a messaging app like Telegram, which would have offered perhaps more privacy?
Yeah, so I think there's two things to consider there. I think one is that social media is a great way to mobilize in general, right? So I think that if everybody can use social media and can use social media in a safe way, they would use that. And we've seen that happen around the world. I think social media is great for organic movements because, you know, it's not just about people leading the way and kind of crafting a campaign and trying to mobilize it. It's also that the anger that we're feeling, the things that we're seeing on the ground in the US at the moment, these are feelings of people's genuine response to the killing of George Floyd. So it's not just about kind of like, hey, we decided to have a campaign now, come and join us. This is kind of very, visceral, very real kind of feelings that people are manifesting on social media. The second thing I think is that when we think about using things like Telegram and privacy and stuff, I think we need to look at the media systems and the political systems. And to be fair to the US, as much as we talk about how it's no longer kind of the liberal, the bastion of liberal democracy, they still do have a lot of that kind of freedoms that we don't see in other countries. Say, take Malaysia, Hong Kong, and that kind of stuff. And there's also a little bit more trust, I think, in the system, as much as we know that the system is flawed. So in Hong Kong and stuff, a lot of people had to turn to using kind of different apps like FireChat and all those kind of things because they felt like they were being dampeners and things were being used to kind of stop them from getting online on social media. So they had to kind of find these things. Obviously, in other countries where it's slightly more authoritative and things like that, people are afraid of surveillance and stuff. But I think in the US, it's a complete different context also because that, number one, the Black community is a big number. You can't kind of silence everybody. And number two, they are really, really angry. We've seen this and we know this and we know it's justified. And it's very hard to kind of silence that kind of voices.
So we spoke a little bit earlier about the confusion between the hashtags Blackout Tuesday and Black Lives Matter and the subsequent dilution, I think, of the message that can come from that. What do you make of this? I mean, does it show how online movements can be misinterpreted or co-opted?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think one of the things that we need to think about is kind of the dampening effect that things have on social media. I think that, I think what you said just now was right. I think the intentions of people were noble. I think a lot of people wanted to show solidarity. And many people around the world are feeling the kind of anger because obviously racism isn't just in the US. So I think a lot of people have kind of very honest response to this. But what it also shows is that the best intentions don't always play out in the best way. And on social media, where there's so many different permutations, where so many things can happen, and so many ways to co-opt, that I think that people who are coming up with campaigns, who are creating hashtags and all those kind of ideas and stuff, need to really think about what are the big potential implications to the cause that they're trying to support through their actions. And I think that's something that, and people make mistakes, right? So I've seen posts over the last couple of days, or yesterday, where people were kind of going, we made a mistake with this one. We thought it would work, but we didn't think about this. So I think that's just a kind of natural consequence. And I think, people need to learn from this as they move forward with other kind of issues.
So on the line with us today, we have Dr. Nikki Cheong, media and communications expert at the University of Nottingham, UK, talking to us about social media and activism, and especially in light of what we saw happening with Black Lives Matter and Blackout Tuesday. If you have thoughts on this, if you observed it as well on your social media, do let us know what you think. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with Nikki right after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It is coming along to 7:17 in the evening and you're with Lee Chui Lin on the Evening Edition. Now, we have been talking today about social media and online activism and I suppose the many ways that it can go wrong as well as right, and looking at it particularly through the lens of Black Lives Matter and Blackout Tuesday. On the line with us, or over Zoom rather, we have Dr. Nikki Cheong, media and communications expert at the University of Nottingham, UK, weighing in. Now, we were talking about how Blackout Tuesday and Black Lives Matter kind of got conflated with each other, and you spoke about the importance of, I think, understanding where it is that, or understanding what impact your participation can make in these campaigns. Do you think it's also important to look at where these campaigns originate from? Because I think that that's another thing that is easy to forget in the wave of shares that social media creates.
Oh, absolutely, right? So I think that the experiences of people from different countries, we can all relate to racism, but we all kind of relate to it in a different way. And I think that the way that we interpret these movements and we interpret this issues and the causes as well is different. So I'll give you an example. One of the things, so when I first heard about kind of Blackout Tuesday, it was part of that show Must Be Paused, a hashtag. And I heard about it because I know that in the US, they were kind of getting, you know, this time of reflection. But people can choose how to respond to it differently, right? So for example, in London, there's a music management company called Native Management. What they chose to do as part of their reflection in response to their show Must Be Paused is that they kind of created this 12-week course for Black women to train in live music, right? For free. And so, you know, they said they know it's a small number, but, you know, this is one of the steps that they're trying to do. So I think people can respond in different ways and to work within their own communities. But what happens is that I think when we try to kind of jump on this, I mean, I don't use the word bandwagon because obviously the intentions are really good with this, is that when we jump on something that we don't completely understand, it's very easy for us to lose control of it and lose control of the narrative.
And would you be able to weigh in on whether or not this is actually effective as a form of online protest or as a form of online awareness raising, simply because there were some conversations going on about the Instagram algorithm and how these squares might end up being displayed?
Yes. So I think that this is where I think it wasn't thought through when people were doing it. And I don't know how whether you can blame the person who started it, because their intention might have been very good and they might have thought it through, or us as social media users, right? Because then we need to kind of think about what are the implications of our actions on social media. So for example, I think one of the things that we really need to think about is when we do this post, what are we trying to do with it? Are we trying to show support for Black Lives Movement? Because what they need at this moment is for people to remain angry, to be vigilant, and to be very aware of what is happening on ground. This is not, for example, something like, as important as it is, International Women's Day, World AIDS Day, and all those kind of things, where the intention of social media campaigns is to spread awareness and to kind of destigmatize things and stuff. So in that sense, kind of symbolic shows of solidarity is very valuable in terms of awareness. But what Black Lives Matter needs at the moment, these are people who are literally on ground at the moment being treated violently by their own authorities. Those black squares don't really do anything to address that. And what I think happens is that it's not so much this show of solidarity. I think what's important is that people have been using it to using social media to share links to donations, more information, how you can be an ally, and how to be anti-racist and all those things. Those messages too are getting lost because of this black squares. Because when I go onto my Instagram yesterday, it was just all black squares. And I know people are posting both things, but for some reason, Instagram has chosen, maybe due to the algorithm, to just show me the black squares and not everything else.
Before we move on to the larger question of social media companies and how they're coping with all this, I did just want to briefly touch on one more thing, which was the participation of brands, because that's something that has been called out and questioned as well, this idea that brands now all need to put out some sort of statement relating to this, regardless of whether or not in the past they have shown any solidarity. So from the point of view of social media, I suppose, do you think that it actually, I don't know, I mean, does it behoove a brand's social media presence to participate?
I think the fact that brands are participating speaks a lot to what is happening on ground in the US at the moment. This is not the first time that Black people have taken to the streets because of police brutality. It happens all the time. It happened in massive ways, time and time again. But this is the first time that all the big organizations are actually jumping on, which I think kind of speaks to how big this issue is at the moment, and whether this might be the turning point, I don't know. But, you know, obviously, I hope so. I think we can't separate it from what you were saying about the kind of brands that have been, what brands have been doing before. Because I think that if we look at kind of big brands like Nike, for example, I think it's more comfortable seeing posts by them because they were very kind of supportive of the NFL player who was fired because he knelt down in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, as opposed to the NFL, the National Football League in the US, who posted something about supporting Black people, whereas they did nothing. In fact, they actively made it very difficult for Black players who wanted to show their solidarity. So I think we can't actually separate those things, and we have to kind of consider all of this together when kind of arguing for or against companies getting involved.
So then let's look at the social media giants themselves. Do you think that they are ready to deal with their platforms being used this way? And, you know, what have they been doing right or wrong? I'm thinking here of someone like Facebook and the recent kerfuffle surrounding Mark Zuckerberg's decision to leave up a post from President Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me whether they're ready, obviously they're ready. I mean, in the sense that, you know, algorithms are codes, right? And these are things that can be crafted. So if something happens, they can very easily, they have enough expertise and everything in the world to kind of try to navigate it. Obviously, they can't solve all the big problems in the world, but there are little things that they can do. One of the things that I would call out Instagram for example, is that they could have very easily made their algorithms not show the black squares in the Black Lives Matter hashtag. I mean, there has to be a technical way of doing it. But you don't expect very much from that because of what you say. Instagram is owned by Facebook and Zuckerberg has decided that he will take a hands-off approach to navigating content. And I think that they do this to protect themselves because the moment they start getting involved in one thing, people will expect them to get involved in a lot of things. And one of the things that they do is to get away with doing all of these things is by saying that they're not actually publishers, that they're just kind of funnels for content. I think we can say that they're ready because like yesterday there was an article that Twitter said that they already had mobilized a team to go through all of this Black Lives Matter material in order to make sure that kind of content that's going out there is as effective and as non-racist and non-dangerous as possible. So they can act very quickly. I don't expect them to kind of solve things with a snap of the fingers, but there are things that they can do. And I think that the fact that they haven't done anything speaks more about these companies than it does about the people who are posting this stuff.
So how does the global reach of social media affect protests that may not necessarily be physically centered in any particular country, right? Or that specifically are, but people around the world are weighing in on? You know, we're seeing Malaysians, for example, weighing in or participating virtually in the protests in the US, also in Hong Kong. So yeah, how does that affect things on the ground?
I think it's great. I mean, I want to refer to a Facebook post I saw by our thespian Joko Katas, who talked about, you know, there's a lot of criticism by people, I think, on Facebook and Twitter in Malaysia saying that, oh, you know, how can you be supportive of Black Lives Matter, but you don't speak out against kind of the bad treatments of migrant workers and refugees and our own kind of racial issues and our own issues with police brutality in Malaysia? I think those are all important issues, but I think that's a bit of a kind of whataboutism, kind of dismissing kind of people's act of solidarity. I think there are many reasons why Malaysians don't engage in our own kind of politics, and that's a separate conversation. But I think what's important is that I think that, and what Joe was saying, is that this discussion and this discourse on Black Lives Matter happening around the world has made people, and certainly among my friends, conversation that we have, making us think about our own acts of racism and what we have done that can constitute racism. I'm doing a lot of reading at the moment, reading that I've never done before, because I want to also kind of question myself, kind of what kind of systemic inherent racist acts that have I performed, which I'm not aware of. And I think that that is the amazing thing. You know, we can talk about kind of criticisms of social media, but that's also the good thing about social media, that it gives us this space and this platform to take things global. And an issue like racism can be seen in a very universal way.
And in closing, Nikki, I think one of the things that we've talked about really is this idea that when you participate in something online, intentions may be fantastic, you know, everything is there, but you may not necessarily be able to grasp the ramifications or understand where it came from. You know, there are all these different things going into a simple retweet even. So for people who do feel moved or enraged, or, you know, they want to participate in this in some way, what are the best practices online? You know, when you do see some new hashtag, some new movement, how do you participate in that in the most helpful way?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing that people need to do is to pause. I think one of the things that social media has done, and this is the structure of social media, right? It's created to make things move very quickly. So the retweet button, the share button, the feature button, everything is there to make it seem as if we have to respond almost immediately. I think the best practice is to pause, ask questions. You know, like it's one thing to kind of post a black square and say that I'm against racism, but if we don't stop and ask ourselves, are we racist in our own way? But just in terms of the sharing as well, I think that it makes sense. So before I used the Blackout Tuesday hashtag, for example, I actually went to read where it came from, who created it and that kind of stuff. You know? So I think that we need to start slowing down our use of social media because really, just because you put something out really quickly doesn't make it any better than anybody else. And we're all in this rush to try and be the first to post something. But it doesn't really matter. I think it makes more sense that we pause and we slow down and we deliberate and we think about stuff, we research and everything before. And I think if we do all of that, then the words and the things that we share and post or even retweet can be much more impactful.
Nikki, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks a lot, Lynn.
That was Dr. Nikki Cheong, media and communications expert at the University of Nottingham, UK, weighing in on social media and activism in light of what we saw happen with Black Lives Matter and Blackout Tuesday and the dilution of the message that came from that. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.